1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Five one double 51 is our text number. People listening and hearing and watching, insofar as there are very few images of that tragedy, the Cookstown disco tragedy that killed Morgan Barnard, Lauren Bullock and Conor Curry, are baffled as to how something in an open space, so to speak, can develop into something so catastrophic so quickly. Now, in January 2014, people may remember, we covered a lot in this programme at the time, there was a crush outside Copperface Jack's in Dublin. And one of the people involved in that crush was Nicole Tianihad. Nicole, good afternoon.
Hiya, how you getting on?
Good. First of all, did this bring back memories for you when you start reading what happened in Cookstown on St. Patrick's Night?
Yeah, as soon as I heard about it, it all just came flooding back to me just that night. Like, I could sympathise with everyone who was in that experience over the weekend, just what had happened to them. Like, it's a terrifying situation to be in.
And like Cookstown, the Glenvale Hotel, the Greenvale Hotel, it was outside. It was in a queue. What do you remember of what happened and how quickly it developed into something that could have been very, very serious?
Yeah, so it was outside. We were all queuing outside, and the queue was going down the alleyway just around the corner from Coppers, and we were just queuing up, waiting to get in. Obviously, it was a very popular night out. It was the first time they'd had over 18s. Usually it's over 21, so obviously everyone was excited to get in. So we were queuing in there, and it literally just started off with a few shoves and a few pushes, and then obviously the people in the back just were trying to get to their front. So it just escalated from being in a tight space to completely being crushed up against the walls and between the barriers, like, so quickly.
And what happens? Does someone have to fall and then the whole domino-like scenario? And how quickly does it transform from a queue into a crush?
Oh, so quickly. Because it was such a tight space anyway, and there was such a large crowd of people in the queue, it just took one shove and everyone falling forward for it to become something serious.
Wow! And what happened what happened to you in the Copperface Jack's queue in 2014?
So I was caught. There was a barrier that was like trying to separate the queue, but there was people everywhere. So I was caught in between the barrier and the brick wall. So it was just like crushing up against my ribs, and I was just trying to, you know, keep my head up and try and keep some, you know, air and keep calm. But eventually we slowly moved forward to the front, and some random man just pulled me out.
He lifted you from behind the barrier,
He lifted me from outside the barrier to, like, out in the open, and I could actually breathe.
Wow. And Nicole, when you're in the crush, can you speak? Can you plead with people to move back?
Everyone was pleading. Everyone was screaming to move back. But, like, nobody can move anywhere. There's literally nothing you can do in that situation. You can plead all you want, but there was no going backwards. It was only pushing forwards, and there's probably people who had fallen at the front getting crushed by more people coming in on top of them.
Because it was a big story at the time, because one young woman was quite seriously injured in that crush, wasn't she?
Yeah, definitely. I was there with a few of my friends, and we were very lucky to come out, like, unscathed, so to speak.
And the trauma afterwards, now, thankfully, nobody was killed, unlike Cookstown, where three young people were killed. The trauma afterwards, Nicole?
Yeah, you wouldn't go into, small spaces with big crowds, or, I said to myself, I would never go to Coppers again after that experience.
Mm-hmm. And did anyone, or could anyone have taken control? Could the bouncers, maybe they were there, I'm sure, there's always bouncers or security staff outside Coppers. I don't know if there was security staff in the Greenvale Hotel on Sunday night, because St. Patrick's Night discos are a big phenomenon in the north, always have been, going back even to the Troubles. They're a big phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And also, somebody else said to me recently that one of the reasons why they're a big phenomenon, it's the last kind of party before you get stuck into doing your exams, your mocks, and then your final exams. So there is a big... So did anyone try and take control of Copperface Jacks, and did it work?
At that point, there was not much you could do, because there was just such a big influx of people and just a load of panic just in the air. So there was not much you could do once it had begun. It was just like a group effort of people outside of the queue actually helping others out. I'd say like it's more prevention beforehand of what could have been done. Like the queue should not have been going like in a small alleyway. There probably should have been bouncers like at all parts of the queue, because there was only bouncers at the door, so they couldn't actually see what was going on within the alleyway. So if there was actually bouncers there to, like, if they saw people starting to push, they could have told them to, you know, cough on and stop pushing forward. Like, you're not going to get any quicker if you're pushing forward like that.
But, see, people would find it hard to understand, and I know you explained the alleyway in that, but there was space at the back. Just as there was in Cookstown, there was a wide open space. There's space at that laneway goes all the way across into Camden Street. And must try, or just, you can explain to me how people couldn't shout to the people at the back, move back, move back. People are being crushed. All they had to do was turn around and walk away.
They definitely were shouting back, but I'd say in the moment, it was just people thinking, oh, this will be a laugh, you know. But once they had done it, there was nothing more you could do, because it was already pushing forward. That alleyway is small enough, and think of that filled with, like, absolutely jammed with people. Like, there was no moving. If there was, like, prevention before that for, you know, like, there was a barrier there, but that wasn't going to do much for people pushing the barrier in, you know.
Nicole, did the Gardaí arrive?
I'd say they arrived after I had left. Like, we went straight home as soon as
we got. They all went home, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were so upset. And was there people, obviously, I think the young woman was called Niamh Cannon, she was taken to hospital. Yeah. Was there others taken to hospital?
Yeah, I'd say there was others taken to hospital. There was people all over the floor at the front from what we could see. But we just went straight on home. Like, we were very upset over the whole situation.
And what, Nicole, what is the reaction you get from people of your own age when you say to them, we were nearly killed in a crush outside Copperface Jack? Do people understand how it can flip so quickly?
I don't think they really do, because we would tell the story to our friends, but they were thinking, oh, they're just being very dramatic.
Yeah.
But they weren't actually in that situation. Like, all of us thought, like, all of them, myself and my friends at the time, we were just like, you know, kind of accepting this could be it. You know, this could have been our last night.
Oh, it's a horrific situation. You've given us a picture of it. And by the way, what's the sound? Are people, can you hear yourself screaming?
You can't even hear yourself think, to be honest. It's just an air of panic all over the place. Like, everyone's just, you know, like, literally fighting for their lives to get out, you know.
Because there's a YouTube video, there was at the time anyway, of Copperface, of that crush, and it was horrifying, terrifying to watch.
Yeah.
But one of the things I remember, if my memory, is the sound, the screams of people, and the panic that was enveloping the whole crowd.
Yeah, it's those kind of screams that were telling people, you know, this is a serious situation, like, why wouldn't you move back? But it was too late at that stage.
Okay. Well, Nicole, thanks indeed for going through that with us. And how quickly the disorganised queue, so to speak, and we don't know what happened in Cookstown. What have you done things differently in queues since? Like, would you say to people when you see a queue, stand back rather than...
I've never experienced anything like that again. thankfully. But if I do see, like, you know, a queue, the small space and a massive crowd, I'll tend to avoid it, you know.
Okay, and Nicole, look after yourself. Thanks indeed.
Thank you very much.
And again, condolences to the family of Michael McElhattan, Lauren Bullock, and Morgan Bernard. And bizarrely, I discovered I was working on something on Sunday about the children killed in the Troubles, and I was working on a child called Patrick Bernard, who was killed, I think it was 1976. He was blown up by the UVF, the Glen Ann gang, along with his best buddy Jimmy McCaughey and two other adults. Patrick Bernard was 15, 16, and he was going to a disco on St. Patrick's Night in 1976, and he was killed. And I thought the names were very similar and quite unusual, and I discovered that Morgan Bernard is a grandnephew of Patrick Bernard, who was killed in 1976. So another tragedy, unfortunately, on the same day for the Bernard family. So condolences to them. 51551 Joe at RTE.ie.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And back to that tragedy in Cookstown, County Tyrone, and how quickly on St. Patrick's Night and how quickly things can change. Liam O'Rahilly. Liam, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
It was many years ago, but explain what happened and where and how it developed so quickly.
Well, Jim Reeves at the time was the biggest thing on radio. Mm-hmm. You couldn't turn on the radio, but you were invited to put your sweet lips a little closer to the phone by a gentleman, Jim Reeves.
Yeah.
And he was coming to Kilchamock, the Diamond Ballroom in Kilchamock.
Mm-hmm.
And all of Connacht and half the country was going to see him. So mm-hmm. I was working in Castlebar at the time, and a few of us got together and went over early to get into a couple of pints, and then got to the hall early to get in. Mm-hmm. And we got in, and grand. And then, it seems to me, looking back, within minutes, the whole thing jammed. It was like sardines. Mm-hmm. I remember being on the floor with a girl dancing and not being able to lift my arm from my side. I suppose it was like what happened in
was there panic developing, Liam?
There was a panic, but the heat was hitting the ceiling and coming down like rain.
The condensation.
I don't remember anyone panicking or that, although there were some fainted, there were some people carried out, I know all that. But it went on, and then the Jim Reeves, apparently Jim Reeves, piano player, the contract was Jim Reeves sang with his piano player.
Mm-hmm.
The piano had to be tuned. So he sent his pianist in to check the piano. The pianist couldn't get a sound out of it. He opened the, I heard him on the radio years later. He said he opened the back of the piano and all the strings were tied in knots.
Okay.
So he went back out to
Jim Reeves. Go back to the crush and how quickly it developed. You're in the middle of this dance hall. People are being allowed in through the door, weren't they?
The door was never... Everyone just took the money and push. If you're in the front, the tough luck, you know.
And was anyone, again, this thing I was asking earlier on, I was asking Nicole about, was anyone shouting back, or could you be heard, or could you even shout back to say?
Yes, at all. No, with the racket that had been going on. Sure, everybody must have been screaming. Hillsborough now. Remember Hillsborough? We saw it on television.
Yeah,
we were looking at it on television, people dying. But it just happens.
And so you're in a crush.
You're in the middle of the floor in a crush, like, and you're just waiting to see what happens next.
Well, can you move your hands to push people away?
Couldn't raise your hand from your side.
Wow.
And that is a fact, Joe.
Wow.
That I think, thinking back now, I think it's a fact, because it's a wonder there wasn't a panic, actually. But anyway, the Jim Reeves came and went, and then Leo Diamond, the owner, came out on stage eventually, and he was in tears. And he said, "No Bucksy Yank will ever step in my hall again." He said, "I'll turn it into a sawmill first." I think originally it had been a sawmill. Yeah.
Okay.
But that was
what's it now, Liam?
Well, it's still standing. I don't know what they're doing with it.
Okay.
The Diamond Ball was famous in the West, yeah.
Okay,
but that was Jim Reid's. I almost saw Jim Reid's.
Yeah. Okay, almost, yeah. Anyway, yeah. Thankfully, there was no one seriously injured, I hope.
No injuries. There were a few faintings and things like that. But
Stay there for a sec, Liam. Let me bring Mick Kelly in, 51551. Mick, you were a security guard in England.
Yeah, security on nightclub doors for 20 years, yes.
Okay, yeah. And what are your observations about how quickly a crush can develop?
Oh, a crush can develop in seconds. It literally depends on the crowd and how controlled it is. I mean, this is why I'm so upset and I wanted to ring up about this.
Mm-hmm.
In England, I was trained from the very first week that when a door is opening at 9 o'clock, the doormen are on the street at 8:30, and you monitor them along the wall or whichever way you want to direct the crowds. And also, you never have a continuous queue. You break the queue every 200 people so that you have room to move back and forward and stop people pushing forward. In this case, it was children.
Yeah, in fairness, we don't know the ins and outs of Mick at this stage.
I'm not referring to this. I'm just talking
about the case. Oh, in the case that you want. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I wasn't there, and I can't refer.
Yeah, okay.
But the principle is still the same. You were talking to a lady earlier on about the crush at Copper Jacks, which is a very professional door.
Mm-hmm.
But the rule, 8 security can control 500-600 people easily.
Okay.
You just start from the beginning and do not let the crush develop, because once the crush develops, it's actually not the people at the front that get crushed because they can support themselves. It's the people in the middle really get choked, like that gentleman was just saying there. And the younger and the more feeble they are, the more in trouble they are very quickly.
And the fact that and it was the same one, it was slightly different conversation, but just the fact that there was a wide open space outside this hotel.
No, that's actually the reason it happened. And I'll tell you why. If you can imagine a rugby scrum, 200 people to 300 people were trying to get in through the centre door, and the problem there was the door was in the middle of the building. So people are coming in on the left and on the right, trying to get further up the queue in case it gets full up and they're not allowed in. So they move to the left and the right, and then there's people coming behind, and that's when a crush forms.
And it's
like a scrum, just goes into a circle, and then you're in trouble in the middle.
And it's the middle where you're most vulnerable.
Exactly. I've had more trouble inside clubs than outside, funny enough. I've never had a problem in 20 years once we control the outside. It's inside when you've got then 1,000 people inside, then it's hard to monitor them and you have to control it more, but it's a lot more difficult.
And Liam's description there, a very vivid description of being trapped. Again, he was in the middle as well, but you can't even raise your arms from your side. You can't move them.
You cannot, yes. And I've been in a few crushes myself, and I'm 18 stone and well capable of handling myself, and you're helpless. You must deal with it from the back. The people at the back, you see, are having fun, they're leaning, they're whatever.
Okay. Now, they don't
know you're in trouble in the middle.
Okay. You mentioned you were involved in security in England, but that's the United Kingdom, which Tyrone is part of. Was part of your training to do with crushing and crowd control?
No, this came from security, head of security that trained it herself, not in the actual training of a security guard, and it still isn't, which is strange.
Are you serious?
Yeah, still not. All the training is about how to deal with people inside and how to put them out.
Yeah, but we hear these ads on all the time. If you're a bouncer, you have to pay as well. You have to pay an annual fee to the Professional Security Authority, PSA.
Yeah.
And I thought that was for training. And you're saying, well, we'll find out. But you're saying crowd crushing does not, the dangers of crushing and how easily it can happen, are not a high priority. You believe in the training of security personnel.
Correct, I do believe it. It's not in any of the training manuals we've ever done. You sort of learn, the bigger the clubs you do, the more you have to do it. Crush barriers are brought in, etc. But here's the thing to bear in mind. A lot of venues in Ireland were what we call old-time hotels that had weddings, etc. Then became turned into discos for the big nights, Stephen's Night, Boxing Day, this sort of thing.
And
they might only have one bar,
you
know, and everyone goes to one bar and crushes begin in them, you know. And same outside, they're not designed to have 300 or 400 people turn up in a half an hour.
Yeah.
So they must be monitored in advance. And that's my opinion on it.
Okay, and Patrick, as I said earlier, what did... they call them underage discos, but it means there's no drink at them. But underage discos on Patrick's Night in Northern Ireland are a particular phenomenon that's been happening for years upon years. And that's what happened. That's where the crowd came from on Sunday night, Patrick's Night. Okay, Mick and Liam, thanks indeed. Where's Frank Canny? Frank, good afternoon.
How is you?
You're talking about Hill 16 and Croke Park.
Yeah, Hill 16, a complete disaster.
Still?
Disaster. I had to stop going there 20 years ago because of pushing down the hill again, the bars and the wall. I was afraid I've nobody killed that since.
Yeah, but the hill has been completely redone, completely rebuilt. There's lots of safety barriers. I haven't heard recently of anyone complaining.
That's the worst thing is the safety barriers. When you get stuck behind one of them and it's at chest level. Okay. In 75 we were there and they closed the gates at 3 o'clock before the match even started. And then the hill was packed and at half time then they opened the gates and crowds flooded in up over the hill. I was surprised there was nobody killed.
Okay.
I was supposed to go up to the present day because I have a big family and brothers. They still go up the hill. And I can even see it when I'm in the queue to stand. The crowds are all pushing against one another. And then by safety barriers, they're up at chest level, you know. So if you got pushed against one of them, good night, Leo. You know what I mean?
But in fairness, Croke Park and the GAA generally have a very, very good safety record.
Yeah, well, Joe.
Okay, by the way, that's one of the reasons in the original plans they wanted the stadium to be completely seated. But remember, that was one of the main recommendations after Hillsborough. That all stadia in the UK have to be fully seated. But anyway, okay. Yeah. Okay, Frank, you mind yourself. That's Frank Hanny. 51551.
Okay,